Welcome, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, your host for Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. And we're going to be doing a episode review this week because we have season 2 in the can on Netflix. And you can watch it right now. And we're going to start with Across the Universe, which is the very first episode from season 2. And I'd like to welcome my co-host, Greg Tyler.
Hey, 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 Mark Morrell. Hey, fellow Voltron fans. Awesome to be back as always. And I just got to know, Mark, how many times have you watched all of season 2?
Twice now.
Wow.
I've watched it all the way through twice now.
That is awesome. I think I've seen every episode at least once, most of them at least twice. And my daughter's favorite episodes I've caught bits and pieces of that total probably 7 or 8 times a piece. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to chatting about Across the Universe, the first episode.
Right. And one of the cool things is Neil Kaplan, on his Twitter account, got everybody excited about actually watching one episode per week starting on last Saturday.
Oh, cool.
So on Saturday the 27th, he said, we want you to do this. And this is like hearkening back to the old days of Saturday morning cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
So he tried to get everybody excited about actually watching Saturday morning cartoons with cereal, of course.
Yes, there we go.
And only watching one episode per week.
Wow, how cool. It takes a lot of discipline.
Yes. So the idea was that you were going to watch... Well, actually, he said he wanted everybody to start at season 1.
Really?
Huh. Yes. So it was going to start at season 1, and so you'd start with The Rise of Voltron.
How cool.
And then, you know, we watched The Rise of Voltron on Saturday, and he asked everybody what kind of cereal they had, and everybody answered back and everything. So that was just week 1. If you want to join in on this, he's got it going every week. So he'll probably be on Twitter every Saturday morning. Of course, he's at Pacific time, so remember that.
Okay.
If you're on the East Coast and you're watching it at 8 in the morning, he's probably not watching it with you.
So he's watching it at 8 a.m. Pacific? Is that how it's going?
I'm not exactly sure exactly when he's starting, but you can bet that if you're like between, I guess, 9 a.m. and 12 noon,
mm-hmm.
you can probably catch him tweeting about it. Probably in that time period.
That's cool. Now, I remember when Voltron Force was on in 2011 to 2012, that there were live tweets going on during those episodes from Jeremy Corey at World Events Productions. Now, I didn't take part in any of those at that point, but I understand that that was a lot of fun for a lot of viewers of that series. So it's cool that Neil Kaplan has sort of taken the reins and done some of that himself. That's really neat.
Right. And it's, you know, it's interactive because you can talk back and forth with Neil. And obviously you can talk about the episode that we watched that day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, The Rise of Voltron was just this past Saturday, January 27th. And then, of course, the following Saturday, it will be the very next episode. Some assembly required.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my daughter's favorite episode, so I remember it very well. She loves the whole food fight scene. And it's kind of fitting that her favorite part of it is when Hunk fills his jowls with green food goo and then sprays them all over Allura and Karan.
And here's the thing. If you watch all of these episodes week by week, of course, there were 11 total in the first season and 13 total in the second season.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll take us 24 weeks. I'm just betting you. That's going to probably get us close to season 3.
What? There's going to be a third season? What? What?
Come on.
Yeah, we got to see what happens to the empty Black Lion cockpit and the unused Black Bayard, don't we?
Yeah, well, you know,
woo.
I'm gathering that there's going to be an investigation.
Yes, I think that's almost a certain. I'm sorry if that feels like a spoiler to anyone. But chances are good that they're going to try to figure out what the heck happened.
If you had to pick a current TV show that does investigative type, you know, work, who would you pick out of all the current TV shows?
That would require me to watch current TV shows. I honestly watch Voltron Legendary Defender. I watch Doctor Who. I watch The Walking Dead and whatever cartoon bits and bobs my daughter happens to see. Other than that, nothing. So I am clueless. I'm sorry. How about you?
Well, I don't watch any really investigative shows because there's things like NCIS. There's all kinds of cop shows and lawyer shows and things like that. and they all do some type of investigative work. So I really don't know, because...
You're pulling stuff out of the quintessence, is that it?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm really doing when it comes to investigative TV shows, because I don't really watch them either. You know, I don't like to solve murders and things like that on TV, so...
Yeah, I'd say Magnum PI, but you know, most of our audience who really loves Voltron Legendary Defender probably has no idea who Magnum PI is.
But if we were to go back in cartoon lore...
Ooh...
Of course, I would want all the teenagers from the Mystery Machine and Mystery Incorporated to get involved in this investigation, even though it's not about ghosts. It's about a missing person.
Yeah, so assuming that that Shiro is found, would the person who finds Shiro be rewarded with Shiro snacks?
Oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, and I imagine some of our listeners would probably have these tremendous visions in their head about what Shiro snacks would entail. But I'm not going to go any further than that.
Shiro snacks were made by a company called Space Dad Incorporated.
Nice. Love it. Nice.
You know, we've got this this new season to talk about.
Yeah.
And we're going to start with Across the Universe.
Yes. And what an episode it was.
Right, so let's get started.
All right.
All right, Across the Universe, Voltron Legendary Defender Season 2, Episode 1, was written by Mei Chan and directed by Steve Ncheng An. So we're beginning this episode where we left off Season 1, which was Episode 11, The Black Paladin, where Zarkon is staring at the castle ship flying away, and the solar barrier has been shut down. So from inside the castle ship, we see Allura standing with her hands on the controls, and... Pidge and Hunk appear on the screen asking what happened, and then Hunk says, who cares, just wormhole, and Allura creates the wormhole.
I remember that. Like it was just last season.
Right, and then Hagar gathers her magic together, fires some purple bolts at the wormhole, and the ship disappears through it, but the color changes to a deep reddish purple, and then they're all wondering what's happening, and the lions start slipping and then getting sucked out of the ship. And then they all end up in different areas around the universe.
Yeah. Now, I have to tell you, number one, just visually, the effect of Hagar's energy bolts or whatever. I mean, we saw some of those in the last season, some of the druids' energy bolts or whatever they are. I love that they're black. You know, I mean, they're basically almost like a black hole surrounded by this purplish energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually when you get like a beam or a ray or whatever, it's a very brightly colored lightning effect or something.
So you can see it.
Yeah. But this is it's nothingness surrounded by this crackling energy.
Right.
And it just looks cool and creepy.
Yeah. And of course, within you've got this wormhole that started off this light blue color, you know, like that quintessence color we were talking about before.
Uh-huh.
And now it's all dark purple. So that just means that you're not going to get what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not grape Kool-Aid either. This is bad.
Yeah, this is really bad. So the new season now is going to start, you know, the credits come up and everything, the opening credits,
mm-hmm.
right? So we see the opening title and credits, and now we're on a quiet planet we've never seen before. There's a light wind blowing that we can hear. Looking up from the planet's surface into the sky, we see red line and black line appear out of a purple wormhole, and as they fall to the planet's surface, they fall in separate directions.
Yeah, it's pretty nice that these two lions did wind up getting kicked out of the wormhole in the same general direction to the same planet, given that they probably could have been scattered, you know, millions of light years apart. But I'm glad that they landed together, because the story that unfolds is really cool.
Yeah, and so... You know, black line's going down. We see Shiro in the cockpit. He's holding onto that glowing wound that Hagar gave him when they had their fight. And she gave him a nice little cut on the right side. And it's mm-hmm. glowing purple.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, so they show a distance shot where they show Shiro's line coming straight down and Keith's line falling far to the right. So then you're following Keith now. And there's alarms going off in Red Lion. And he's groaning, come on, come on, come on. And suddenly all the music stops and everything goes black. And then he wakes up.
Yeah, so purple is back is bad. And a cut to black is also bad.
Right. I mean, if when the music stops, that means something happened, like a crash.
Yeah.
So slowly we see Keith's eyes are opening and he comes to. And then, you know, he's finding out if Red is okay. Red's not responding. So He gets up through the head of the lion and starts looking around. And then he sees just this barren wasteland, pretty much, right?
Yep.
I mean, what do you gather as to what type of planet this is?
It looks like a Class M planet, Captain. No, that's a Star Trek reference.
That's a Star Trek reference.
Yes, it is. Class M means Earth-like, basically. Well, it's certainly habitable, or it seems that way, by possibly human-type people. but it has a very sort of alien, weird kind of desert kind of thing. I think even though Shiro and Keith have landed on the same planet, you clearly get the fact that that each of them is isolated, at least for the short term, from one another, and definitely isolated from anything resembling any kind of civilization. So these guys are on their own.
It appears to me more like a New Mexico, Arizona area kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Definitely.
So Keith is trying to get Shiro through the helmet, and he can't find him. And he remembers that Shiro had wormholed with him, and he calls for Shiro, but he's not getting any answer. Now the scene changes to Green Lion, who's appearing through a purple wormhole again in another part of the universe, and it appears to be a nebula of floating junk, like parts of ships that have been abandoned. Is that what it looks like to you?
Yeah, definitely. I was sort of thinking of in The Empire Strikes Back. That's Star Wars Episode 5 for all the newer people. when the Star Destroyer jumps into hyperspace, the Falcon had been hanging onto the back of the ship with a landing claw, and the Star Destroyer jumps into hyperspace just after they dump a bunch of junk in the middle of space, and the Falcon releases the landing claw, just sort of drifts with the garbage. This looks like that times about 100. Yeah.
Right, and as Green Lion comes through this trash nebula, crashes through several of these, parts of ships that are floating in the nebula until it comes to a larger one that it just crashes on and stops.
Yeah, I thought that was a really cool effect. I liked seeing the lion. I mean, it could have just as easily just thudded and crashed into the very first thing that it hit. But dragging that out a bit really, it kind of let the eyes wander over the scene and just take it all in. It worked pretty well.
Right. So the same thing that Keith had, Pidge has here, where Pidge didn't necessarily black out or anything, but when came to a stop, realizing that Green wasn't really operational,
mm-hmm.
and, asking Green if she's okay,
mm-hmm.
and not getting a response, and saying, okay, well, you just rest a bit. And she's basically crossing her legs to get in the seat to get more comfortable. And she says, you know what they say, when you get lost in space, the best thing to do is stay put and wait for people to find you.
Yeah, I think the best thing you can do when you're lost in space is not travel with anyone named Dr. Smith. Sorry, guys, that's a very old sci-fi reference to the 1960s show Lost in Space. Anyway.
Right. So I don't think she has a stowaway on Green Lion right now.
Probably not. I do love how Pidge calls Green Lion girl.
Right.
You know, I remember in Voltron Force, Hunk called Yellow Lion the Yellow Fellow and all that. There's this implication that the lion is male, and that Voltron is often referred to as a he. It's really cool to hear that Pidge, being female in this series, refers to Green Lion as female. That's cool.
Yeah. So she's basically sitting there. She puts her head on her hand and slowly taps the helmet and says, "This will be nice. I'll have some me time." And then the smile goes away and she says, "No one to annoy me." And then the scene ends.
Yeah.
So you can tell right now she's already getting bored.
And Pidge, I think, to this point, Hunk has been my favorite character. And Hunk is still at the very top. But I'd say that Pidge is either a very close second or quickly becoming tied with Hunk as my favorite. I love Pidge in this scene. It's just great.
So do you remember what Pidge and Hunk were like in Voltron Force?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They were great buddies and joked around and kind of picked at each other a little bit. It was cool.
Right. Well, they were both like mechanical as well as technical geniuses. And, they could put things together and work things out together. And Pidge had set up like the whole castle defense system and everything. And they called it Gristle Defense.
Yeah. So a real quick flashback to Voltron Force. Hunk had made this supercharged barbecue grill inside the Castle of Lions, and he put too much jet fuel in it or something, and it basically took off and crashed through the ceiling of the castle and went up into the sky, and Pidge's new automated defense system blew up the grill.
Yep.
And Hunk was all bummed out, and Pidge said, well, at least we know the Gristle defense system is working. They're both going, Gristle defense, like they're mimicking like they're playing rock guitars.
Yeah, so. And the funny thing is that Hunk actually played a guitar, and Pidge was actually the band leader of Stereolactic.
Yeah, yeah.
So they both had a musical background. So that was cool.
Yeah, no, that's not happening here, but...
No, of course not.
Point is, I love the... I've always loved the dynamic between Pidge and Hunk in the various shows. And here it's all about Pidge, but they're both great characters. And let's get on with the story.
Right. So, yeah, we know Pidge is very bored right now in the Trash Nebula. So, meanwhile, on the castle ship... The castle ship was still caught in the purple wormhole and hasn't reached the other side. Alarms on the ship are blaring, and Karan is saying, let's check the rift exit positioning monitor. What's a rift exit positioning monitor?
Well, I'll tell you this. This is one of my daughter, she's five. This is one of her two favorite episodes. She can repeat this entire exchange word for word. She's heard this so many times. So she'll do the whole thing. Let's check the rift exit positioning monitor and figure out where we're heading. And then she'll do the Allura line afterward. Well, anyway, it sounds to me like it is a monitor that indicates the position of the exit of the rift that they're in.
Okay, well, in this case, though, they don't really know where they're going to end up.
No, but hopefully the monitor will tell them.
Well, Allura, who's also clearly upset and screaming, they're both really screaming. Karan, look, there appears to be something on the other end. We're heading right toward it. And Karan says that it shows that there's no end. It's just nothingness. We need to find an exit before we smack into the void.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this nothingness void that they're trying to avoid. Get it?
I see what you did there.
Yes. Avoid the void.
Yes, like, as opposed to avoiding the noid. That's right. Another pop culture reference that may be too old for many of our listeners. But anyway.
From Domino's Pizza.
Yes.
So Allura is trying to punch up things on the holographic screens, and she says that she can't avoid anything. She can't do anything. She's lost control of the castle. So Karan says, brace yourself. We're about to hit it. So the ship goes through what appears to be a black hole and it disappears.
Mm-hmm.
And can I just say right now that the sound effects in this episode are really top notch. They really add to the whole experience in every scene.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to commend the sound team on Voltron Legendary Defender. They aren't recognized enough
sure.
for making this show so real for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
This show, I would say, this series, not just this scene, not just this episode, but the program in general, looks and sounds phenomenal. And it's a credit to everyone who has played any part at all in the production, pre-production, and post-production of this series. I'm just loving it. Thank you all.
And I have to say, my best way of listening to this is through headphones that are completely around the ear headphones, because they really pull in all the sound, and, you know, I get all the surround sound and everything, and it's really cool.
Oh, neat.
I don't get that when I'm watching it on a TV, really.
Yeah, I've only watched the show through our big screen TV with its built-in sound system. And so I don't have the full experience in any way, shape, or form. But what does come out of my TV looks and sounds great.
Right. In what seems to be like something coming out of Groundhog Day, this scene starts over again, except there's a couple of differences. See if you can tell what they are. Karan again says, let's check the rift exit positioning monitor to see where the wormhole is taking us.
Great job. You said it very well.
Yeah. And Allura, in disbelief, says, Karan, we're okay. She was pretty sure they were goners. Karan says, what are you talking about? We've lost all the lions. Allura says, we've just smashed into a black void. Don't you remember? And then one of the mice jumps on her shoulder, except it has a squirrel's tail and rabbit ears. So Allura says, as she recognizes what happened to the mice, and then she says, they've transformed. And she looks at the other mice who have transformed, and they're all squeaking.
Right.
And then she says, Karan, and Karan says, "Why are you looking at me like that? Do I have a boogie stuck in my mustache again?" So she said, "No, you look younger." And he doesn't respond to this right now. Mm-hmm. He's not feeling like he's any younger.
Right.
But he clearly looks a little bit younger, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So it's clear that Karan has no recollection of their previous trip through this wormhole rift thing. And he's not only younger, but the mice, I mean, they've transformed. They haven't gotten any younger. They've just gotten different.
Different. Yeah, right. And nothing is affecting Allura.
Yeah.
So Karan's back to saying, "Scanners show there's no exit. It's just nothingness." And Allura says, "You said that already." And then Karan says, "Find an exit before we run into the void." So it's the same thing over again, but she's entering coordinates to get him out of there. The castle won't accept an endpoint. And Karan says, "Just enter any coordinate." And Allura says, "I tried, but the system is locked. I can't get a signal out or receive a signal in."
That's bad.
Yeah. And then Karan just yells Allura as they hit the void again.
Yeah.
And we're back to the start again.
Yeah. So very quickly, this entire thread with Allura and Karan and the castle and the space mice reminds me, and I'm not saying it's a ripoff. It's not, but it is reminiscent a bit of a Star Trek: The Next Generation episode. I think it was called Cause and Effect, where the Enterprise gets stuck in a temporal loop. And one of the characters, and eventually more of the characters, begin to catch on and try to figure out what the heck is going on and how they can get out of this seemingly endless loop. This one is a much more funny go at that story, at that thread. So it's just a lot of fun. So anyway, sorry, that's a brief aside. Let's move on.
Well, just so you know, there was a Phineas and Ferb episode also where they got stuck in a temporal rift and they kept on repeating the same thing over and over again, except each time it happened, they kept on getting less time to do anything.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so the time kept on shortening every time they got back into the beginning of the loop again.
Okay, that's cool.
So their time was really running out for them.
Huh.
Nothing had changed, obviously, with the characters or anything, but with having less and less time every time you go through it, if you don't do something to get out of it, it looks like it's the end for you.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, so that's what was happening in Phineas and Ferb. But yeah, this is definitely a weird circumstance for Karan, because if he continues to keep getting younger and younger, he's going to disappear.
Yeah, that's not good.
Right. Yeah, back to the start again. Karan says again, "Let's check the Rift exit positioning monitor." And now he has a sleeveless shirt on. He's more muscular and more confident, and he's prone to posing as he talks.
Yeah. Yes, I love it.
And he flips his hair, and it makes sparkling sounds and a whip sound as he does it.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of anime influence in this scene.
Yeah. So Allura says, "Oh, no, you're even younger now. What's the matter? You look confused." And Karan says, "Don't worry, princess, I'll get us out of here." And as he says that, the animation is more dreamlike, with more sparkles and more whip sounds. So this time, the mice have turned into what seems like larger livestock-type animals now?
Yes, yes. Perhaps foreshadowing a visit to a mall in a future episode. Who knows?
And this kind of scares Allura. She screams and she says, "We appear to be in some sort of time loop that's affecting everyone but me." So Karan's saying again, "Scanners show there's no end. It's just," and Allura says, "Yeah, nothingness. I know. And we can't find another endpoint." And she keeps on getting licked by the livestock mice here. And Karan says, "Don't just stand there. We've got to find a way. I'll never give in to nothingness," as he gives more poses again. And then, of course, the ship hits the void again.
This does make you wonder, was Karan really like what we see him in, throughout these various loop iterations? Was he really like that back on Altea? I mean, has he always been this?
You gotta wonder, don't you?
Yeah.
Here's the thing, you know, as you go through the different stages of life and everything, right? There may be a time where, yes, you worked out a lot, you got more confidence and everything, but you had more time to do it then.
Oh gosh. I
And
know
then
that
as you
feeling.
get older, you get more responsible and you start doing more things, you know, for responsibility's sake, and you spend less time on those things that, you know, would have taken better care of your body and all that kind of stuff and given you more confidence and all that. So I think he was just in that period in his life, you know what I mean? He sounded definitely more confident in that little part right there.
Yeah, I'm thinking we need a prequel series that just covers Karan's past. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Yeah,
I think we're getting it all in one here.
the Karan Chronicles. Yeah.
Yeah. So this time we're back to Keith and Shiro. Shiro is waking up in Black Lion, and Black Lion is motionless at the bottom of a canyon. Shiro gets out of the top of Black Lion's head. He starts asking for Keith. Keith, are you there? You know, and then he doesn't hear any response, so he knows he has to get to higher ground. And he's holding his wounded side the whole time as he moves towards that higher ground. And we see Keith, he's running away from Red Lion in the direction he last saw Black Lion. And he says, Shiro, can you hear me? Shiro, are you there? No response. So as Shiro's walking to higher ground, he finally starts to hear Keith through his helmet. Shiro, are you there? Answer me. And then Shiro says, Keith, I'm here, Keith. So now they're connected.
Right.
Keith says, Shiro, you made it. And Shiro says, it takes more than a glowing alien wound, a fall from an upper atmosphere and crashing into a hard pan surface at what I'm guessing is about 25 meters per second squared to get rid of me. How are you? So he's still got his sort of sense of humor, right?
Now it's interesting. Okay, I'm a science nerd. In addition to being a Voltron nerd and a nerd in many other ways, 25 meters per second squared is about 2.5 G's. Now that's an acceleration. So it's interesting he comments about an acceleration when they hit a planet as opposed to a speed. But you know, I'm a geek, so hey, what do you say?
Well, here's the thing. If you were just doing a fall on planet Earth, what's your meters per second squared?
Well, 1 G is 9.8 meters per second squared. That's free fall,
That's right.
but they're also getting thrown at the planet too. So,
Right, they got thrown out of the wormhole at the planet.
So I got to tell you, I'm less impressed by 25 meters per second squared than I am by the radically negative velocity of actually hitting the planet's surface and just stopping.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the inertial dampeners, as they would say in Star Trek. So hey.
What it shows is that these lions can really take a wallop.
Yeah, and keep their pilots from turning into chunky salsa inside the cockpits as well.
Right. So Keith says, not good, my line's busted. Wait, what wound? So Shiro says it's nothing. And as he says that, he recalls Hagar blasting him with her powers and, you know, slicing his right side. And he starts groaning, and Keith gets, you know, excited, and he says, hang on, I'm coming. And then Shiro sees some lizard tiger-sized creatures crawling all over Black Lion, growling and snarling. And he says to Keith, on second thought, you'd better hurry.
The stakes are higher.
Right. So now we're going back to Pidge, who's doing some reconnaissance outside her line, checking out the trash nebula. She sees some glowing eyes in the dark area ahead of her, and she pulls out her Bayard. And then she asks, a little worried, who's there? And then there's some squeaking, some creatures clattering, and then she sees some small, fluffy creatures appear in the light, all different colors with 8 legs each. And what we were calling before Skittles Tribbles, we found out that they're actually called caterpillars. So these are caterpillars. They're all different colors. And she goes, oh, hey, little guys. Oh, you guys are so cute. Too cute to be found in a dump like this. Are you guys the only ones living here? I hope my rough landing didn't disturb your day. I'll be here for a short time. I'm waiting for my friends to find me. We were separated during a wormhole jump. And then she says, yeah, friends. I sure hope they find me soon. So she's looking up into the skies, or looking up into space as she says that. So we find that she has some friends living with her.
Yeah, and I must say that I'm glad to learn that they're caterpillars, but I really like Skittle Tribbles better.
I think one of the fans actually said Skittle Tribbles when we said they look like tribbles.
Or the scrubbing bubbles or something like that. Yeah,
Right.
squeegees.
Because as you recall from Star Trek, all the tribbles were the same color.
Yes. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, no, there were browns, whites,
Were
tans,
there?
and in the animated series, they were all pink.
I thought they were just all like brownish tan.
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're back to Karan and Allura again. Karan looks like a teenager now, and his hairstyle looks very 80s.
And let me say, this is my favorite iteration of Karan throughout this entire story thread.
So, of course, he's back to let's check the rift and the positioning monitor, except this time he's saying it very indifferently, where it doesn't even seem like he cares.
Yeah.
And then he actually says, "This is so boring." And Allura says, "Karan, please, I don't need any of your attitude right now." And as she's saying this, the mice are now like snails crawling all over her. And Karan yells out, "You don't understand me at all. You have no idea what I'm going through. I'll be in my control area." Humph. Yeah, she's dealing with a teenager now.
Yeah.
And Allura says, "I can't manually enter coordinates, but the castle will automatically lock onto the lion's whereabouts if we can locate them." So she opens up her star map, but there's no luck. She can't locate any of them. She says, "It's not working. I'm unable to hone in on their location." Now all of a sudden, some loud operatic music is playing. And Allura says, "Karan, turn that down. Our lives are at stake." And he says, "I can only express myself through music." She says, "Karan, if you don't turn that down, I swear I'll turn this castle around." And then he says, "And what? We're just going to run into this void that's coming up here. I hate everybody." And as he says that, they run into the void again.
There's a lot of serious stuff that happens later in this episode, but my favorite line in this entire episode is when Karan says, "I hate everybody."
Yeah, so it must have been really fun being Karan's parents back then.
No doubt. Wow.
You know, and of course we've all heard the story, "I will turn this car around right now if you guys don't behave."
Love it.
All right, now Karan is a small boy with a boy's voice. And he says, "Let's check the rift exit positioning monitor to see what this wormhole is taking us," whatever that means. And Allura says, "We've tried everything and nothing's worked. The mice are now like one sheep with four heads."
Yeah, that was funny. That was my favorite iteration of the mice by far.
And Allura says, "A few more trips down this wormhole and you're going to disappear. We must find a way out."
Oh, we have to point out, of course, that this child, this young boy, Karan, still has a mustache. Again, is this an
I
Altaian
think it's an Altaian thing, but you know, I really don't know how soon they start growing mustaches.
thing?
Karan, the young Karan, says, "Just blast your way out, duh." And then he starts putting his arms out and flying around like a plane in the room. And then Laura says, "I suppose it's worth a try, and the castle defenses might have enough firepower to destroy the tunnel." Karan says, "Yeah, and it'll go kerplooey." So they fire it, and Allura says, "It's not working. It's like we're shooting at ourselves because the shot keeps on returning back at them."
Yeah.
And somehow they're able to avoid the shot returning back at them, though.
They're pretty lucky. It's a good thing that time warp also sort of just ever so slightly deviates the beam.
As this happens, Karan blows a raspberry and says, "Where's Voltron?" And they go into the void again. So back to Keith and Shiro again. Keith says, "Shiro, what happened?" And Shiro says, "There's several creatures." Keith says, "Uh-oh," because as he's heading towards Shiro, parts of the ground start bursting up, and huge shots of, I don't know, what is it? Is it water or is it like gas or what is it that's shooting up out of the ground?
It looked like it was water to me. I just thought, sort of thought of them as kind of spontaneous geysers or something like that.
Right, so now he's got to avoid those as he's coming towards Shiro. Shiro says, "Keith, are you okay? What happened?" Keith says, "Minor delay, but I'm on my way." Keith says to him, "How are you?" And Shiro says, "I'm all right, but I'm trapped in a cave, and some nasty-looking creatures have me cornered." So he's trying to avoid these things that have now, you know, gone from Black Lion towards him.
Yeah.
So Keith says, "I'm on my way." And he says, "I just have to figure this out." So now we're back to Pidge. She has, looks like some mannequins.
Yeah, she's basically taken a bunch of junk and made them into dummies or mannequins or whatever of her various friends. Yeah.
So it seems like she's gotten bored, had some time on her hands, and she misses her friends.
and seems a little stir crazy.
Yes, so she starts imitating them. So first is Keith. So she gets behind the mannequin that looks like Keith and says, "My name is Keith. I'm so emo." And she looks over at the other one and says, "Shiro, you're our leader. What should we do?" And she goes behind the one that's like Shiro and she says, "We'll get through this if we work together. We're a team." And then she looks at the other one that says Lance and says, "Look at me, I'm Lance. Hey, is that a cute girl over there?" Hunk says, "I don't feel good. The smell of this place makes me want to barf." She acts like Allura and she says, "Paladins, please, we must defeat Zarkon." She gets behind Karan's mannequin and she says, "Blah, blah, blah, crazy words, mustache."
Okay, now that's my favorite line in the episode. I hate
Blah, blah,
everybody.
blah, crazy words, mustache is your favorite line?
Yeah, I actually tweeted that several days ago, and one of the people who made the show actually liked it. I think it was Lauren Montgomery, but I just thought that was funny. It's just so ridiculously out in left field. Just loved it, and of course, the I Hate Everybody's great too. But I think it's funny that Pidge, who is in many ways the most introverted member of the Voltron team, is missing them so much that she's actually recreating them.
Yeah, and she's doing a really good job at imitating them. And I think, like I said before, I thought Bex Taylor Klaus did a really good job imitating the other characters.
Yeah, the only thing that I wish they had done in this scene is I wish we would have gotten close-ups of Hunk and Allura, their mock-ups. We got to see close-ups of everybody else, but a little later in the episode, you see Hunk, sort of in the mid-ground, and I don't remember if we got a good look at the Allura one or not, but it's mostly in a wide shot. I would like to have seen a close-up of those two characters, but the scene in general is a lot of fun.
Yeah. As she's doing all these imitations and everything, she hears the other creatures squeaking and she looks up and says, "What is it?" And then she realizes, "Hey, Green Lion's working again." So she says, "Welcome back to Green Lion." And then she hears them squeaking again and she says, "No, it's not my friends. It's just an old rusty satellite." And it looks like she gets an idea. "Hey, maybe I can find my friends before they find me." So she gets an idea, and I think the idea is that she's going to build an antenna out of this.
Right.
So Keith is trying to find Shiro still again. We're back to Keith and Shiro. And Keith is sighing and saying, "Patience yields focus." And then Shiro says, "That really stayed with you, didn't it?" And Keith says, "Yeah, you've given me some good advice. If it wasn't for you, my life would have been a lot different." He says, "You wouldn't have crashed a flying lion or an alien planet and be stuck with this with little hope of rescue, so you're welcome."
Now, I like the fact that there are folks who focus a lot on their on the relationship between Shiro and Keith. I very much would like to know at this point what their backstory actually is, because they keep it ambiguous here. I mean, clearly Shiro has been a lasting influence on Keith since some unspecified point in time, but we don't know the specifics of how they met and what influence Shiro may have had on in the long haul. But it's neat to hear that mentioned again, you know.
Right. Keith hears Shiro coughing and he says, "Stay with me, Shiro." And then Shiro is grunting. The creatures are coming towards him. And what Keith had done was find a way to use those water bursts to his advantage to get him closer to Shiro.
Yeah, so basically he'd been standing or walking or running on this plateau, and his footfalls were destabilizing the ground beneath him just enough to cause a geyser to sprout underneath him. And so he formulated a plan to use this to get across this ravine, which was between Keith and Shiro.
Right, in the course of that happening to Keith, Shiro is now having to fight with these, I don't know what you want to call them, lizard-like creatures. He's fighting back a little bit, but then they end up knocking him down and knocking him all around, grabbing him by the feet and throwing him around, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, every time they do that to him, I felt awful for him because, you see him just clutching his wound when all he's doing is just lying around or sitting in the lion cockpit or whatever else. But when these creatures are whipping him around, throwing him everywhere, that has got to hurt.
Yeah, and then finally, we hear Keith has a visual on the Black Lion.
Right.
We're back to Karan and Allura in the meantime. And of course, Karan is really young now and saying, let's check the Rift exit positioning monitor to see where this worm goes. I hungry.
And he still has a mustache, doesn't he?
Yeah. And Alora says, Karan, no, that is not a toy. You're going to break the castle and everything will stop. Wait a second. Perhaps we can simply stop the castle from moving. And Karan says, no, mine. And then Alora powers down and says, I've shut down all the power. Why are we still moving towards the void?
Maybe because in space, you can't just stop by just turning off your engines. But hey, that's okay.
Is that one of Newton's laws, or whose law is that?
I believe
an object in motion will stay in motion?
Yeah, that would be the first law of motion, yes. Inertia.
Okay.
But of course, in wormholes, who knows what applies. So there we go.
She doesn't understand why they're still moving towards the void. She says, who wants to check the Rift exit positioning monitor to see where this wormhole is taking us? You do, that's who. We have to get out of this loop before the only thing left of you is your mustache. I have a feeling that's the last thing that would be left, right?
Yeah, probably. I almost wonder if that's what their what a zygote is shaped like on Altea. You know?
And the funny thing says, as she says that, he has poopies.
Yes.
And the look on her face does not seem pleasant.
Yeah, it's another one of those cool anime-styled facial expressions.
We go back to Keith and Shiro again, and this time Keith is in front of Black Lion.
Right.
Keith says, I know I'm not Shiro, but he's in trouble. We need to help him.
Right. Now, Keith, obviously, at this point, had figured out how to get across the ravine. We sort of touched on it, but he basically stood on the edge of the ravine and used his sword that he forms from his Bayard and basically carved a wedge-like chunk in the rock underneath him, and the geyser propelled him most of the way across. He used his jetpack to get the rest of the way across. He's found Black Lion, and yes, now he's in front of Black Lion talking to it.
And he's asking Black Lion for help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a big moment, everybody.
Yeah, it is. It's huge.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're back to Pidge. Pidge is putting some things together from the Trash Nebula, you know, trying to form what it looks like to be an antenna. She says, that ought to do it. Now let's see if we can get a hold of the castle. And it looked like it powers on, but then it turns off.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, no, what's wrong? I need to get out of here. I need to find my friends. Come on. All of a sudden, Green Lion appears to throw some extra voltage into things.
Yes, the eyes light up and it roars. I mean, it doesn't just light up and power the thing. The lion basically comes to life.
Right. And she says, thanks. Now let's see if this thing works.
Yeah.
And she says, I hope the signal's strong enough to reach the castle. So we're back to the castle ship. And Alora says, Karan, what are we going to do? If we hit the end of the tunnel again, you'll cease to exist. Because she's holding Karan in her arms and Karan is like a baby now.
Yes. And his mustache has migrated to his brow.
I think she's given up hope that she's going to be able to do anything. And she says, I'm sorry. You were like a second father to me.
I didn't even think of this until now, but obviously she's primarily concerned about Karan disappearing, but there's also a very strong likelihood that she may be stuck in this thing forever. And if she's not affected by the time loop, she could be in that thing for years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Karan would be gone forever.
Yeah.
And she would still be stuck in it while the mice would just keep on transforming into something different.
Yeah. Elephants, turtles, giraffes, whatever.
Yeah. At that moment when she seems like all hope is lost, she sees the electronic beeping and gasps and says, Karan, look, the castle is locked onto a coordinate. Come on. This was obviously Pidge.
Right. So she fires up the wormhole, basically.
Right. And so the funny thing is that Karan is now back to his regular size and his regular age.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still holding him like a baby, but she drops him.
He says, Mom?
Yeah. He says, Mom? So Alora says, you saved us, Pidge. We were stuck in a time loop. You got us out with this giant trash pile. Pidge says, it's a makeshift communications link that sends out the Green Lion energy, and it's similar to the energy that guided the Blue Lion home.
Yeah, so I gotta say, this finally sort of kind of answers my question about the Rise of Voltron, where Blue Lion activates, and I had interpreted the events of that scene as Blue Lion creating its own wormhole and flying back to the castle.
Right.
It seems by this explanation, this little aside, or this little, oh, by the way, explanation of this techno babble gizmo that Pidge has developed, that Blue Lion may have in fact simply triggered an automated system in the castle to open a wormhole for Blue to use to get to the planet Eris, back in the Rise of Voltron. That's how I interpreted. That's how I reinterpreted that scene in the Rise of Voltron based on this line.
So the lions have their own connection to the castle.
Seemingly, I don't know, but I always thought it was kind of weird that Blue Lion seemingly had its own wormhole generator, and yet they never used it at any point afterward. But this seems to suggest that the Blue Lion basically transmitted its energy, and the castle picked it up in an automated way and created the wormhole for Blue Lion to use. I think that that's what happened.
Okay. So Laura says, Pidge, you're a genius. And of course, Pidge says, I know. Pidge says, besides, it wasn't just me, they helped. And she's talking about the caterpillars.
Yeah, it's too bad she didn't bring them along to keep the cow company later, huh?
You can't just keep every creature you run into with in the universe, you know?
That's true. They're not exactly in an arc or anything.
Right. Now they say, let's go get the rest of the paladins. And then we go back to Shiro and Keith. What we see is the creatures are starting to surround Shiro, and they look like they're just about to strike when Black Lion comes down on top of them and, like flips some of them out of the way and everything.
Scares them off ultimately with a big loud roar.
Right. Yeah, basically. And then we find out that Keith is inside of Black Lion.
And yes, that's a big thing, everyone.
Yep.
Black Lion has had two paladins that we know of, Zarkon and then Shiro, but this is the first time that a modern paladin has operated a lion other than the one that it was designated to pilot. So this is a big deal.
Right. Shiro says to Keith, thanks for saving me. And Keith tells Shiro, you'd have done the same for me. And he asks him how his wound is. And he says, my wound's great. It's getting bigger all the time.
Yeah.
His sense of humor is still with him. And he says he's just trying to lighten the mood. Keith says, hang in there. Now they're sitting by a fire that they've built somehow. Somehow they built a fire.
I think with their amazing Bayards, they can probably do just about anything.
Right. So they're just sitting there now. And Keith says to Shiro, when Allura and Karan find us, they'll fix you right up. And of course, Shiro's starting to feel like he might not make it. So he says, if I don't make it out of here, I want you to lead Voltron.
And of course, this is the big excerpt that had been in the season two trailer that everyone had been fretting and wondering about.
Right, but they didn't see it in the same context as it is in this episode now.
That's right. That's right.
So now you see this and you think, well, okay, there still is a possibility that Shiro might not make it through this.
Yeah.
But it's not as large as the possibility that you saw from the trailer.
Yeah, that trailer was something.
Yeah, it made it look worse. So Keith says, stop talking like that. You're going to make it. And then what we see is Pidge coming down with the castle ship and everything, and it looks like now they're rescued.
Yeah, and one thing that I think is very interesting is that Pidge has been the active rescuer in this entire episode. All Pidge wanted to do was have her friends find her initially.
Right.
Then she, reached out to find them. She saved Allura and Karan and the castle and the mice, and here she is saving Shiro and Keith. And that's neat that she has had this very active role in helping everyone so far.
And might I say it was in a Batman Nick of Time situation? So it was like right at the last second that she could possibly save Allura and Karan before Karan was going to disappear. And then it was at the last second when Shiro himself was thinking he wasn't going to live through this wound.
Yeah, I'm thinking that she has, in addition to developing the cloaking device and that fancy energy transmitter, I wonder if she's come up with a nick of time calculator to let her know exactly when she needs to show up.
Right. Wait a tick.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, so the last part of the episode is all Zarkon. So this is good because we get to see what's been happening to those guys since the castle ship left in the wormhole.
Right.
So now we see Zarkon saying, "Explain to me how you let Voltron escape." And he's talking to Prorok.
Right.
And Prorok says, "Perhaps it was mechanical failure, sire. Hagar boosted the solar barrier's power beyond its normal limits." And then Hagar says, "The two sentries that were guarding the barrier control were found destroyed. This was clearly sabotage." And then Prorok says, "Lord Zarkon, I will start an investigation immediately. I will not rest until the perpetrators are captured." And then Zarkon says, "Perhaps I can save months of investigating. Who has been trying to chisel Voltron away from me this entire time? Who sent his fleet out without my orders to get Voltron?" And Prorok says, "Sire, no, I would never do that." And Zarkon says, "Get rid of him." And then Prorok says, "No, I'm innocent." Hagar says, "Before we dispose of him, the druids will find out all that he knows. Then he will receive a punishment worse than death."
Uh-oh, poor Prorok.
Yeah. And then Zarkon says to Thace, he says, "Lieutenant Thace, you are now in charge of the investigation, Commander."
Yeah, so a very Empire Strikes Back moment there, isn't it?
Right. And he says, "Repitsa."
Yeah.
So that's it. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah, what a great start to the season, huh?
Right. So it appears as if at least three out of the five have come back together again, including the castle ship. So we're talking about Allura, Karan, Shiro, Keith, and Pidge.
Right.
Three of the five lions are back together again. And of course, we already know that the next episode is going to involve Lance and Hunk.
Yeah, Lance and Hunk are probably in deep trouble. Just saying.
The depths of which we'll never know.
That's right. At least not until the next exciting episode of Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. How's that for a promotion?
Anyway. Yeah, that sounds great. You got to admit, there were some cheesy one-liners that you heard at the end of episodes back in the 80s when they wanted to get you ready for the next episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, this would be about the time where you'd get this monologue where Keith says, "We've all come together. It's been tough, but we'll find Lance and Hunk, and we'll save the universe because we have the power of Voltron, Defender of the Universe." I sort of miss one of those moments from time to time, but
right.
But yeah, this was a heck of an episode, and what a great start to a cool season.
Yeah, and I mean, the way it's looking, though, we all know what Thace did at the end of the first season.
Yes.
You know, he was the one that shut down the solar barrier. Mm-hmm. And somehow Prorok is getting blamed for it, and he's getting a promotion. But, I mean, he's got to think that right now he's got this target around him because he's in the thick of the investigation, and they really want to know who shut down the solar barrier.
Yeah, he did not look thrilled by the news that he was being promoted.
No.
Yeah.
No. So, you know, we get to see more of that as the season progresses.
Yes, yes. So, yeah. So what did you think of this episode?
So I thought it was a great way to just carry on what we had seen at the end of season one. And as you saw, it started up with the end of season one. So, you know, caught us right up again, and we got to see what happened to them. And of course, you know, Shiro, being in the position he was in, got to reveal something that we wouldn't have had revealed had he not been in the condition he was in.
Right, right.
So would he have told this to Keith had he not been, you know, as badly injured and as in bad shape as he was in?
Yeah. And, you know, having, you know, most of us, including, you know, most of our listeners out there have probably watched all of season two at least once by this point. So we do know that this conversation point about Keith possibly succeeding Shiro, it does come up again in conversation later. But it does make you wonder, would it have come up at all during this time frame if Shiro had not sort of experienced his own, more, you know, sort of felt his own mortality as he had in this episode?
Right. And Pidge wouldn't have known about that power that Green Lion had to find the castle ship.
Right.
And I don't think Allura and Karan necessarily learned anything new here, did they?
No. I don't think so, except maybe how to get out of a Hagar corrupted wormhole.
But we did learn a little bit more about Karan, about what he was like in his younger days.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to our wonderful Voltron fan artists out there, inspired by the time loop here, to come up with some fan art representation of the life and times of Karan.
Yeah, and I think what you're going to find is that the Karan, where he was in the sleeveless shirt and it was very sparkly and the sound of whips were happening, I think you'll see a little bit more of that one.
Yes.
Although, what does it mean to be an Altaian and have a mustache and be that young and still have a mustache?
Yeah, no doubt. That's true. Do kids have to be shaved from
Yeah,
birth?
I don't know what that means.
Their facial hair, their eyebrows, I don't know. But you know, Karan, it's very interesting looking back not only on this episode, but season one, looking ahead to what we learn about Karan's past in future episodes of the season. And then, of course, the 5-issue Voltron Legendary Defender comic book miniseries from Lionforge. We've gotten a lot of little bits and pieces of Karan's backstory. So actually, there's quite a bit of material to work with, fan artists.
Yeah, we also find out in a future episode of this season that he knows how to get in touch with the black market.
Yes, and he's very skilled at it in the modern era too, isn't he?
So this was a great way to start the season, and I found it very exciting.
Yeah, definitely. I do wonder, I'm very curious to our listeners, what did you guys think of this episode? What did you think of the resolution, so to speak, of the tension set up in the trailer, you know, where you think Shiro's going to die and all that, and then at the end of this episode, you know, it seems like he's going to be healed and everything's going to be better. Did you like how that cliffhanger was resolved? I'd be very interested in hearing what you all think, and if you tweet or comment on the Facebook page or whatnot, it'd be fun to hear what your thoughts are.
Or maybe did you expect that, you know, at least 3 out of the 5 lions would get reunited already by the end of the episode?
Well, I will say that that did surprise me. I mean, I think that if each of the 5 lions had been thrown somewhere entirely differently, it would have taken a lot longer to get everyone back together again. And maybe that's not a big deal, but you know, you kind of need people to talk to make a show with dialogue work. You don't need it, but it's obviously kind of an expected thing. Pidge was very capable of talking with herself and with those Tribble Caterpillar thingies and with Green Lion. But I do think that without the Shiro Keith interplay, obviously the big reveals wouldn't have happened in this episode. And I think it wouldn't have been as interesting just in general if they'd been on their own.
Right, I agree.
Yeah.
So that's Across the Universe, and we've got 12 more episodes to review for season two.
I love that we have 12 more episodes to review because that means that we haven't run out of episodes and are not quite as desperate for season three. Although, yeah, I kind of want that now, don't you?
I wanted season three as soon as season two was over, but you know, that's most people
Yeah.
in this day and age of Netflix and binge watching and all that kind of stuff. So, yes, I would like season three, but I understand we have plenty of time before that happens.
Yeah, thanks to the microwave oven and high-speed internet and binge watching through Netflix, I now have less patience as an adult than I did when I was 3. So, thank you, modern technology. Give me season 3 now. I hate everyone.
Thank you, Karan.
I can only express myself through watching Voltron Legendary Defender in binge fashion on Netflix. So there you go.
Thank you, teenage Karan. Okay, Greg, now it's that time of our podcast where we talk about our Voltron fan spotlight.
I get such a kick out of this, Mark. It's just it's fun to learn more about the many Voltron fans who are out there. So I look forward to it.
Yeah, and one thing I like is when the listeners actually comment about some of the things that happen in the Voltron fan spotlight, and we get some people talking and chatting about it on Twitter and other things. So I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, me too.
Let's get this one starting. This one comes from Risa. Let's go, Voltron fans. This is your Voltron Fan Spotlight.
I'm gonna be doing the Voltron voice meme in light of season two. So let's do this. My name is Risa, and my at is Kaioshins on Twitter. That's really all I use. Tell us a little about yourself. I'm 17. My birthday is coming up in April, so yay. I graduated high school this month, and I'm gonna be going to Kansas City Art Institute in the fall. How did you get into Voltron? Last summer, I was involved in a pre-college art program thing at the Kansas City Art Institute, and my classmates and my assistant teacher in my animation class were talking about it a lot, and it sounded really interesting, and I was like, okay, well, I'll try it out then. And so I like marathoned it within like a day or two, and I fell in love with it. And yeah, I've just been really into it since. Had you ever seen any of the earlier shows before watching Legendary Defender? I have not. I actually didn't really know about Voltron before, but apparently my dad and his girlfriend knew about it. So, but I hope to watch Go Lion someday. Who is your favorite character? I mean, considering I have a pillow of him and a semi-Ida bag in the works and several prints of him, I'd say it has to be Shiro. He's just such an interesting character with his past that we know of, like of his captivity and how strong he is, and just Josh Keaton makes him just such an appealing character to me, especially since he's so friendly and just says little mundane facts about Shiro on Twitter, like how his favorite food is Garrison mac and cheese, and just those little things. It's really endearing in a way, and it's just, yeah, it's Shiro. What are your ships, if any? I love Sheath. And not just like in a coupley sense, like they are just such a good team together. They work together so well, they care about each other a lot. And yeah, I also like Shanse. If anything were to happen, like to become quote unquote canon, I'd like Shanse to be canon because they just seem like they'd be an interesting pair together. And then I also like Clance, and I like Shglance. So, like any of those three pairings together, basically. Or like three characters, sorry. What do you hope to see in future seasons? Well, previously, I think I had wanted to see more Shiro Keith, and that was before season two, so we definitely got that. But we didn't get pre-Kerberos Shiro and pre-Kerberos Keith. Which I still hope for. I hope it happens in season three, at least a little bit. And I really wanted to see Lance get developed more, which I still want to see. So hopefully we get the Shiro and Keith before Kerberos, like at the Garrison, and we get to see Lance and him develop as well as more of his past. Because we know he's really connected with his family, but we don't really know much else about his origins. Well, other than being Cuban, but we didn't even find that out within the show. What is your favorite episode? Season one, it has to be Some Assembly Required, because, which is, well, that's episode two, by the way, because, I don't know, just seeing them try different ways to form Voltron was really funny, especially since they're like so enthusiastic about it, and then they're like, oh, it's such a pain, and like all of them coming up with different ideas. So, like, Keith with the pyramid and Shiro being like, maybe if we fly in formation, we'll just combine. And then Allura like trying to get them together by literally attacking them with the castle. And then like she's just like, oh, you can do it. And then there's like explosions in the background. And then the food fight at the table. Just all of them being super dorky and human. And I just love them so much. But with season two, it definitely has to be Blade of Marmora. It's just such a beautifully paced and animated episode. I've watched it probably over 20 times now. It's just so good. And finding out more about Keith and just and the deepened relationship between Shira and Keith, that's I just love their chemistry together and how important Keith is to Shiro, and just blah, I love them. Which line would you pilot? I've taken the quiz on the Voltron website several times, and I've always gotten Green Lion, so I guess Green Lion, but I wouldn't be against Black Lion either, because Black Lion's my favorite. Say the following: Shiro, Keith, Lance, Pidge, Hunk, Alora, Kurian, Zarkon, Kerberos, Gaara, Eris, Altea, Balmera, Quintessence. Okay, see you guys later, I guess. I'll probably do this again when season 3 comes out, whenever that will be, but
Thank you, Risa. That was a lot of fun. Great to meet you through the Voltron voice meme. I was just going to say, I have never heard of a three-way ship before. Had you?
yeah, I've
Oh,
heard.
okay.
Yeah, that whole Sclance thing has been around for a while.
Okay. So, Sclance, or I thought she said Shglance.
Shglance.
Okay.
I don't like to say shglance, so I say sclance,
Yeah,
but
saying Sclance almost sounds like we're censoring ourselves, doesn't it?
yeah.
What a load of Sclance, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, that's cool. So Shiro is a favorite. Shiro is many people's favorite character. Yeah, favorite line, Green. Favorite ships, Sheath, Shance, Clance, and Shglance. Cool stuff.
The thing that I thought was interesting was that when people talk about whether or not they're going to see one of the prior versions of Voltron, a lot of people tend to go towards that Go Lion.
That's fascinating to me.
I think it's just they want the purest form of it, and the most original first form of it was Go Lion. So, and that's the unedited version. So I
Right.
think people tend to flock towards that.
And what's interesting to fans who didn't grow up with this series back in the 80s, most of us didn't even know that Go Lion existed at that time, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the uncensored Go Lion and Die Rugger were really not available to anyone until the mid-2000s, some 20 years later.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, and when we fans of the show from the 80s first got exposed to those series, it was a massive eye-opener. So it's fascinating to hear about these fans of the all-new show wanting to go back to a series that we didn't have access to for about 2 decades after we first experienced the original series.
Yeah, and we didn't hear about the origins of how the show was developed and all that kind of thing. We just thought, hey, this is a pretty cool show. It looks like it was, at one point it was Japanese anime, but, it looks like something that may have been, originally from Japan, but we didn't know, that it was a prior show called Beast King Go Lion. We didn't know about Armored Fleet Die Rugger 15,
Right.
and we didn't know any of that. And, to have that information come in after you're already all grown up, you know what I mean? After you
Yeah.
watched it as a kid, now you're already all grown up and you're saying, man, I wish I would have known that when I was a kid. I probably would have checked those out. But then also finding out that the reason why it was so heavily edited and everything because of all the things that were going on in Go Lion.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Yeah, and then realizing, wow, man, there's some pretty heavy stuff there.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't know if I would have been able to deal with that as a kid.
Yeah, I hope certainly not. I mean,
Yeah.
I actually discovered the origins of Voltron in anime in the late 80s. There was a great magazine back then called Starlog. And
Oh yeah, love
oh,
Starlog.
yeah, such a great magazine. I miss it horribly even today,
It was right up there with Dynamite.
yeah, yes, Dynamite. But yeah, I remember that too. But there was an issue of Starlog back in 88, 87, something like that, that covered what was then called Japanimation. It wasn't yet called anime here or known as anime here in the States. And Voltron was covered, and the article author, I think it might have been Dave McDonnell, he commented on it originating with Go Lion and Die Rugger. That was the first time I'd heard about it, but obviously I wouldn't be able to see it until the 2000s when the DVD sets came out. So, yeah, I mean, there's no way my 8-year-old brain would have processed any of this stuff from the original anime. So,
another thing that Risa liked was the some assembly required episode where they're trying to form Voltron and they keep on trying different things and then it all ends up in a food fight.
Yeah, that's my daughter's favorite first season episode by far. And I attempted to recreate the cheerleader pyramid in one of the toy reviews that I'd shot for our YouTube channel because I really enjoyed that scene a lot.
Speaking of which, did you see how many views the review got for combining Voltron, the legendary Lions Voltron?
Well, as of later today, this is February 8th when we're recording this, it was over 47,000 views. That's crazy.
Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, you know, your first time out here doing toy reviews and you're getting 47,000 views. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I like to think that it's the product that we looked at more than my style. I will say that I really tried to make it the kind of review that I would want to watch myself, but I'm not going to pat myself on the back for anything special. Really, the toys are great. They speak for themselves. And I just did a lot of speaking on top of that.
Well, it kind of gets you excited for Wave 2, doesn't it, though? You know, there's another wave coming out of toys, and we're going to find out more about that at New York Toy Fair coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
But Playmates is coming out with Wave 2, and it includes some of the Paladins in their uniforms. It includes Zarkon and a Robeast, and they were even talking about Diecast.
Yeah, some really great stuff coming up. But to get back to Risa's voice meme,
right?
I was fascinated that you had heard Risa, as if you're here, you know, talking with us right now, that you'd heard about Voltron Legendary Defender through a program you were participating in at the Kansas City Art Institute through seemingly the faculty there. That's really cool.
Yeah, and she has a little bit of artistic background there. She also took part in an online combining of artists, sort of like Voltron. They did a thing called the Voltron Positivity Poster.
Cool.
And if you go on Risa's Twitter feed, you'll see she pinned it to the top of her Twitter feed. It's a poster that it's almost like a quilt when you do a single square of a quilt and you combine it together with other people who did the single squares. But this is a poster. And it was done by a whole bunch of different artists. And Risa did from the top left, the third one from the top left, which is Shiro holding a V. And then in all the way in the bottom right, there's a drawing of Voltron like Pidge had done in the very first episode when she showed the note of Voltron.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Risa did two of these squares, and it basically has a square for each letter, and then there's a couple of other squares that are on the corners. So it says Voltron on across the top, mm-hmm. and then Legendary on the second row, and then Defender on the third row, and then Positivity on the fourth row.
That is so awesome. I haven't seen this yet, but I'm definitely going to check it out.
And if you look at that tweet, it also has a link to a document which shows which square was done by which artist.
That is so cool.
And they have each artist's Twitter handle.
Huh.
We're going to share all that on the podcast page for this podcast.
That's going to be a lot of fun to see. Thank you again, Risa, for sharing your Voltron voice meme with us. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you, Risa. And that's our Voltron fan spotlight.
Awesome.
Well, Greg, you love Voltron, right?
Whatever made you think that, Mark? What the heck is Voltron?
Would you go as far as to say that you really, really love Voltron?
I think it'd be a stretch, but yeah, I could go that far, Mark. How about you?
Would you make Voltron your Valentine?
Oh, I'm a happily married man. But if I were to pick one 300-foot-tall robot with lion hands, feet, and a lion helmet to be my Valentine, it would definitely be Voltron.
And a yellow portion that screams out, "I'm a leg!"
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, we have Valentine's Day coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
In fact, at the time of the release of this podcast, there will only be a few days before Valentine's Day.
Yes. So hopefully you all have some gift ideas in mind for your loved ones, right?
Right. There's some Voltron toys out there from Playmates Toys. There's lots of things on the Voltron store. And right now, until February 14th, and including February 14th, you can get 15% off at the Voltron store. That's store.voltron.com. And you have to use the code LOVEMY15. That's LOVEMY15. And that's all in caps.
Awesome. I kind of like shopping there. Do you?
Oh, yeah. They've got lots of stuff. And here's the great thing is that there seems to be a lot in stock right now.
Yeah.
But you want to hurry because this is a discount time. So 15% off is a big deal.
Yeah. If you can get your mitts on any of the Voltron Legendary Defender toys through their site, go for it. We've been discovering personally and anecdotally through social media that a lot of these toys are pretty tough to find, even at the major retailers.
Right. And I've seen them in the major retailers, but you can't always find every one that you want.
Right.
So if you want them all, try to go to the Voltron store and see if they have it.
Yep. And the Voltron store is run by our friends at World Events Productions. That's the company that owns Voltron. So if you support the Voltron store, you're supporting Voltron. So let's go for it.
Yeah, that's right. And don't forget, the more you buy Voltron stuff and merchandise and all that kind of stuff, the more you buy, the bigger Voltron can get as a franchise. So that's the one thing that definitely powers Voltron.
Yeah, isn't that true? We sound like a bunch of, you know, advertising people and all that, but we aren't paid or anything to say what we're saying. We really love Voltron and Voltron merchandise, and we love the Voltron store. So check it out.
And we just know from having lived through this all these 32 years, you know, so it's almost 33 years now. What we do know is that when a new Voltron property comes out, like the new Voltron versions, like Voltron the Third Dimension or Voltron Force and now Voltron Legendary Defender on Netflix, if the merchandise doesn't do well or the comic books don't do well or something like that, there's not a really good chance of another one coming out.
Yeah.
So the more you give to this current version of Voltron, the more the chance is that you'll get other versions of Voltron, or you'll get, you know, other mashups with Voltron, or you'll get maybe even a live action movie with Voltron. So these are the things that lead to more Voltron that we love.
Yeah.
So here's, speaking of things we love and Valentine's Day and stuff like that. The Voltron official Twitter and Facebook pages came out with Voltron Valentines.
Wow. What a great way to tell your loved one that you love them Voltron style, whatever that means.
So you won't find these in any stores. You know, you go to the grocery store or something like that, you can see, you know, packages of Valentine cards that kids can give their friends at school and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they come with like gum or lollipops or things like that. But this one, you can actually print out yourself. If you go on the Voltron, at Voltron on Twitter, or you go to the Voltron official on Facebook, you can print this out yourself and make your own Voltron cards that you can give to your friends with whatever candy you determine is applicable.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I got to tell you, I've got a 5-year-old, and my wife is making a really awesome Valentine's box for her to bring to school. So I've been thinking a lot about the Valentines that you can buy to give out to other kids at school. And I'm getting a little sick of the stuff you see every year, right? I mean,
right.
Look, we love Transformers, right? Star Wars and all this other great stuff. They're cool things, but they've been around forever. Voltron's back, guys and gals. Let's give Voltron some love by giving some Voltron Valentines to your loved ones.
And how cool would it be if you printed this out for your kids and had your kids give these to their friends at school, and those friends actually say, oh, that is so cool. This is the best Valentine's I got this year.
Yes, the best Valentine's in the universe.
Yes. So they all have these little sayings on them, you know, like Shiro says, we make a great team.
Cool.
Lance says, you're out of this world.
Nice.
Keith says, you light my fire.
Wow.
Alora says, do you believe in destiny?
Cool.
Hunk says, I think you're super sweet. Pidge says, my calculations tell me you're awesome.
Love it.
And Karan says, let's protect the galaxy, my Valentine.
Nice. I have to tell you, my first thought with Karan was actually Pidge's mock-up of Karan from the beginning of season 2, saying, blah, 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 mushy words, mustache.
It also comes with instructions. I love these steps here. Number one, step one, print Valentines.
Ooh, you think?
Step two, write to and froms.
Mm-hmm.
Step three, cut along lines.
Can you slow down a bit? I'm taking notes.
Step 4, add a treat.
Ah.
And step 5, pass them out.
Very nice. I would encourage folks not to use green food goo.
So if you print out each of these pages, you get 7 Valentines per page.
That's cool.
So if you've got like 28 kids in your class, how many would that be?
4 pages.
4 pages. Very
Wow.
good.
Basic arithmetic. Look at all the wonderful things you can learn by listening to Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast.
Yes. And the cool thing is you're actually saving money by doing this, because the cost of printing out 4 pages at home is a heck of a lot less than the money you would pay for something at the store.
That's true.
Happy Valentine's Day to all the Voltron fans out there.
Yes, and we've come from across the universe reviewing that episode in this episode, and meeting Risa through the Voltron voice meme, talking about merchandise, the Voltron store, Voltron Valentine's, you name it. We're trying to cover it across the Voltron universe.
And next podcast, we're going to be reviewing episode 2, which is called The Depths.
Yes, and this was the episode that the fortunate attendees of New York Comic Con 2016 got an advanced look at. So it'll be fun to revisit this episode because you and I were both at New York Comic Con, and we'll be taking an in-depth look at the depths.
And to date, this is the episode that I have seen the most, just based on the fact that we're reviewing it here. And also, it was that one that we got the preview of.
Yeah, so a lot of fun.
We're looking forward to that next week.
It's awesome to be a Voltron fan, isn't it? And seriously, we appreciate each and every one of you who take the time out of your week to listen to our podcast. We're just here to share our enthusiasm for Voltron with folks across the planet, and we're so pleased and proud to call each and every one of you our podcast friends. So thanks very much for listening.
We have a sweepstakes going on right now. It is the Voltron Retro Commercial Sweepstakes. And right now, you have a chance to win Playmates Toys. So if you send us in a 15-second video to our email address, letsvoltronpodcast@gmail.com, that's the only way you can send it to us. Send it to us. It's a 15-second video. You can get it off of a phone, you can get it off of anything. So send your 15-second video with you playing with Playmates toys or with kids or whoever you deem fit in this video. Use your creativity, because we're trying to get the same style of commercial like they did in the 80s. So if you go out to letsvoltron.com/85, that's the podcast where we introduce this. It has all the official rules linked right to it, and you can see exactly what you have to do, but it's really that simple. You get some of those Playmates toys that you might have already gotten in the stores, or you can go to a store and actually take video of it on your phone while you're at the store. Don't take it out of the package, though.
Yeah.
But if you already have those toys, any one of those toys or any combination of those toys can be used in this video. So it's going to be a retro commercial that we put together and we piece together with all the different fans sending in their videos.
Yeah. Don't think it has to be professional quality stuff. I mean, we're not aiming for a J.J. Abrams or an M. Night Shyamalan or an Orson Welles. Does anyone out there know who Orson Welles is? But in any case, just have fun with it. We're just gonna throw it together and make a really fun little thing to share on our YouTube channel.
We shall have no wine before it's time.
Rosebud.
Yeah, so basically, if you do have any questions for us, send us a message on Twitter at Let's Voltron, or on Facebook, Let's Voltron Podcast. Or you can see us on Pinterest at Let's Voltron and Instagram at Let's Voltron. And then also, if you have any other questions, send a question to us at letsvoltronpodcast@gmail.com.
And international entrants are allowed as well.
Yes, that part of it comes through. If you have not joined our newsletter yet, just send us an email with your first and last name, and we'll add you to the newsletter. It's that easy too.
Yep. So check out letsvoltron.com/85 for all the rules.
And the winner of the international prize gets an Ultimate Voltron from Playmates Toys.
Which is ultimately cool. This is the non-transforming, super large action figure that's highly articulated. It's got the lights and sounds. It's awesome.
Right. And the grand prize for the people who send in the videos is all 5 of the lions, all five of the legendary lions that combined to form one giant Voltron.
Yes.
And then the second place prize is Ultimate Voltron.
Very cool.
And then the third place prize is Lion Attack Voltron and Sword Attack Voltron, which are the two mini Voltron figures.
And I love those things. They're so cool.
Please send in your videos because we need to get these together by the end of February so that we can get that commercial made.
Yep.
Now, that's just something that's going to be shared on YouTube. It's not something that is going to be generated as a real commercial. This is just for fun.
Right. And it's going to be fun to see what we get.
Right. Thank you for joining us on this podcast, and we'll see you all next time on
Let's Voltron!